This is Nate. Nate became a Christ follower 2 weeks ago and is still a bit giddy about it, though he's trying not to do cartwheels in public. Nate became a believer partly because of Kim. Yet oddly enough, Kim and Nate have never met. Now is this possible? Well, let's take a look. Kim loved Jesus from an early age, and in college she had a huge impact on her friends. While most of her peers used their college years to, well, experiment, Kim didn't. She remained committed to her faith, and it showed. It especially showed to Lisa, her roommate, who confessed to Kim that she wanted whatever it was that made Kim so strong. Kim shared her faith with Lisa, and Lisa believed. Years later, at Lisa's first real job, she met Thomas. Thomas was hit by a drunk driver when he was 13 and still carried a lot of anger and bitterness. Thomas and Lisa became friends, and it wasn't long before he started going to church with Lisa and her husband. After a lot of studying and searching, Thomas gave his life to Christ. Fast forward a few years. Thomas became a public speaker and was often asked to speak at large events. See, when he became a believer, Thomas developed a new perspective on life. He stopped resenting what had been taken from him and started being thankful for the second chance he had been given. On one particular day, Thomas shared about overcoming hardship and what it means to choose joy. He was so passionate that a number of people were inspired to share a link to his video. The video of Thomas inspired James, too. And if anyone needed inspiration, it was him. James had a ton of issues. He spent most of his life as a passive husband, an absent father, and a horrible friend. That said, no one disliked him more than he disliked himself. But everything changed the night he happened to watch Thomas online. Something clicked and he knew what he had to do. He surrendered his miserable life to someone greater, and he was forever changed. James fought hard to make up for the lost years with his family. And he also began working with young men who were in danger of throwing their lives away. One of those men was Nate. Nate didn't really know his own dad, and he had no real direction in life, ultimately bouncing from one bad decision to another. Because of that, he often found himself in trouble with the law. No one had ever showed him what it looked like to be a real man. That is, until he met James. James became the first father figure Nate ever had. He learned about honesty, self-control, humility, and integrity, and where those traits come from. 2 months later, Nate publicly declared his belief in Christ, and of course, James was there. Now you can see the connection. Nate was impacted by James, who was influenced by Thomas. Thomas saw an uncommon joy in Lisa, who learned of Jesus from Kim. Kim's relationship with God eventually led to Nate's. Funny how these two people have never met. And never will.
I believe that that video illustrates the ripple effect that sharing the gospel can have. Yes. Making disciples can have. If we commit ourselves to evangelism, we commit ourselves to making disciples, we commit ourselves to reaching people for the cause of Christ. Amen. That can happen. I'm thankful for the person and the people that invested in me spiritually. I'm thankful for the people that invested in those people spiritually because it trickles down. It has that effect where it continues on. And it only continue on if we continue to do it. We as the body of Christ, we as Christians. And if we say no to evangelism, we say no to outreach, we say no to making disciples, then we're heading down a path where, one, this isn't going to take place. And one, we're going to continue to see our numbers, the people, the number of the followers of Christ, the kingdom of Christ shrink because we aren't dedicated and we haven't truly surrendered our lives to the absolute cause of Christ. You know, in just a year and a half of being a full-time pastor, I've heard more excuses for not sharing the gospel than I ever have in my life. From, I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do. I don't know where to start. I don't know how to get there. And then this one is my favorite. Isn't that your job? Isn't that the pastor's job? Well, yeah, that's our job. But as a follower of Christ, it's everyone's job. Amen. That's the church as a whole. That's the body of Christ should take evangelism outside of this building and into the community. You know, we do these special things and we try to do events, and I'm just as guilty to fill the church up, to get people here. But reality is we have to do it out there before they're going to come here. Amen. That's evangelism. That's outreach. Let me share some statistics with you this morning. According to Barna Research Group, here are the numbers. Overall, the practice of evangelism has either remained the same or declined among different generations of born-again Christians, except for one. These statistics were gathered between 2010 and 2013, and elders went from 52% to 53%. Boomers went from 53% to 48%. Busters went from 60% to 49%, and the millennials went from 56% to 65%. As we see those numbers and we hear those numbers, 50% for a lot of people, hey, that's pretty good. We're doing well. But here's what's staggering. Out of all those people that were asked about if they're sharing the gospel, 100% of them said that it is their responsibility to share their faith. So if 100% of the people know that that is their God-given responsibility to go out and take the gospel to this community, to this world, but only 50% are doing it on average, that doesn't line up. That doesn't make sense. There's something that we're doing wrong. There's something that we're missing here. Evangelism is a way bigger deal than we ever put forth. So often we let an excuse or a reason why we shouldn't do it get in the way of us taking the gospel to this community and to this world. And church, I believe that we're beginning to see the fruit of our labor show up in the culture today because of our lack of evangelism. And when the results of that take place, we have nobody to blame but ourselves. We can't blame a president. We can't blame D.C. We can't blame anybody but ourselves, because we have just as much responsibility to take the gospel to the ends of the earth as anybody else does. And if it doesn't start with us, how can we expect it to start with somebody else? You know, I get the opportunity to work with these students, and I challenge them to share the gospel. But this morning, I'm not just challenging them, I'm challenging myself, and I'm challenging us as a church. If we don't want to just see the church grow, if we want to see the kingdom of Christ grow, it takes us standing up, getting out of our comfort zone, and leaving this building and doing something for Jesus. We can't continue to go to work. We can't continue to go to our schools. We can't continue to go into this community lackadaisical and blind to the fact that we're living around a multitude of people that are lost. That video that we just saw about the offering, what did it say? 3 out of every 4 people in the state of Florida do not know Jesus. There's a need for this. There's a need for outreach and evangelism. Turn with me to Luke 15. That's where we're going to be this morning. We're going to look at 2 separate parables. Jesus talking about reaching the lost. We're going to begin with Luke 15, verses 1 through 4. It says this: tax collectors and other notorious sinners often came to listen to Jesus teach. This made the Pharisees and teachers of religious law complain that he was associating with such sinful people, even eating with them. So Jesus told them this story: if a man has 100 sheep and one of them gets lost, what will he do? Won't he leave the 99 others in the wilderness and go search for the one that is lost until he finds it? Let's stop right there. So Jesus is teaching and he's preaching and he's talking to these people, and the Pharisees and all that, they're mad because he's hanging out with sinners. He's hanging out with lost people. And he says, you know what? Let me give this illustration real quick. Let me teach this. Jesus is good about doing that. He said, if he has 100 sheep and one of them gets lost, he's going to leave those 99 sheep to go find that one. That's what Jesus is teaching. And he's saying, you know what? I believe that he's saying, there are lost people all around us. But until we knock down these walls, we won't see them. Until we do it outside of these doors, we won't see it. It's us meeting the lost where they are, not expecting them to show up where we are. You have to seek out opportunities. You have to look for things. I know that many of you walked into this room and you're burdened with maybe a grandchild or a son or a daughter that does not know the Lord. You may be burdened with a sister or a brother or parents that don't know the Lord. Each of us walked into this room with people that are on our hearts and our minds that we're burdened for, that they know the gospel of Jesus Christ and that they accepted and make him Lord over their life. Many of us walked into with one of those people. And my question for you is, when's the last time that you met them where they are? Not just invite them to Sunday school, not just invite them to church, met them where they are and just shared it with them. Because too often we depend on lassoing them and bring them to the church so from the pulpit they can hear the gospel. Let them hear it in your home. Let them hear it in their cubicle. Let them hear it in their office. Let them hear it on your campus. It doesn't need to be just something that's shared in this building. Something that takes place outside of this building. In my opinion, the church exists for discipleship and to grow believers. And the right process would be people getting saved coming to the church to be discipled, not getting saved and discipled. I praise the Lord for the people who've been saved here. But if we were doing our job each week, we should have a row full of people as we're going into the community, sharing the gospel, seeing people get saved and saying, hey, you know what? I want you to come make this public. Come to my church. Worship with me. That's what Jesus is teaching here. He says, you know what? If 99 were over here, I'm going to leave the 99 to go reach this lost person. You know what that may mean? Those Christian peers that we have at work, those Christian peers that we have and when it comes to golfing and doing those other things, it may mean leaving them sometimes to go hang out with those other people. It may mean sacrificing something that you love for a short period of time to go seek the lost. That's evangelism. And Jesus is saying in this parable, he says, meet them where they are. Because I can tell you right now, as a lost person, and I do remember when I was lost, if you were to invite me to church, I'm not coming to church, I'm sorry. But I can guarantee you one thing, I'll be at work on Monday morning. But if you were to invite me to a fellowship in the fellowship hall, I'm not going to come to a fellowship in the fellowship hall. But I'll come to your house and eat steak. I'm sure most of us would. There's your platform. There's your opportunity. If we all accept the call of following Jesus Christ and make him the Lord of our life, then the call in our life is to be an evangelist, to share the gospel, whether it be in our home at our dinner table over a meal, or whether it be in our office at work. That is our call in our life. And we have to take it to the next level. We have to take it more serious. I heard a guy say this once. He said, we can't build buildings and do events and say they know where to find us. And that's what a lot of churches have done. They built buildings. They do these big events. And I'll be honest, we're guilty. And they say, they know where to find us. If they want to come, they'll come. And that's not how it works. Jesus teaches right here, seek them out. Go find them. Too often we depend on other things to take place or other people to do it. When if you've accepted Jesus Christ this morning, that's a call on your life as well. That's something that God is calling you to as well. Not just us as pastors, not just the deacons or the Sunday school teachers. If you are following Jesus Christ, if you have given your life to him, that is something that you need to take up your cross and do. These buildings don't have a voice, but you do. I'm thankful for our facilities. I'm thankful that we have a place to do services like this, to eat meals like we do, to have Bible studies in the rooms that we do, but they don't speak. We do. We have the ability to tell them about Jesus and what it means to follow Jesus and what it means to give their life to Jesus. And that's something that we so desperately need to do. Slide down to Luke 15. Move down to verse 8. It says this, or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Won't she light a lamp and sweep the entire house and search carefully until she finds it. So Jesus moves on, and he's talking about the parable of the lost coin. And in this parable, he's saying, you know what? If this lady has 10 coins and she loses one of them, she's going to tear the house apart to find them. I know that, like, there's times where I lose my cell phone and it's on vibrate, and it always slides, like, underneath the couch. And you're looking all over for it, and then you're like, I'm like, babe, give me your cell phone. Let's call this thing. And, like, you're popping all the things out, like, searching underneath it. And I'm like, I cannot find the phone. Like, you cannot find the phone. And all of a sudden, you're, like, turning off the TV, like, turning off the fans. You need it completely quiet. Don't talk. You hear it, and then you're, like, on a mission. Where's it at? Am I getting closer? And then you finally find it. That's kind of what I picture here, is this lady's like, she's just looking. She's ripping the house apart. And she's like, I'm finding that coin. And I'm not giving up until I find that coin. There's a word that I tie to that. She was persistent. She never gave up. She didn't say, you know what? Adversity has faced. I have ripped this place apart. I have swept everything. I cannot find it. I'm done. She didn't say that. She said, I'm going to find this coin. I'm going to find this coin. It's somewhere in here. I'm going to find it. And Jesus was teaching here again, evangelism outreach. He says, you know what? Don't give up. Be persistent. You know, there's ways to be persistent and not giving up without making it awkward and making it ruining a relationship. Because there's people that do that sometimes. There's a way to go about that, but we have to keep in our hearts and in our minds that we can't give up. Just because the world says, you know what, we don't want that, we want to reject Jesus, that doesn't give us a reason or an excuse to stop doing it. Just because we face maybe some adversity doesn't mean that gives us a reason not to do it. Guys, we have been given this call in our lives. What dumbfounds me is that God could have used anything. But yet he chooses to use us. Yet we, selfishly enough, we don't do this. We don't make him known in our lives 24/7. I told Stephen Attaway at Mission Trip, we were talking about some stuff, and he shared this at the share service when we came back. He said, I don't think that living it out and just letting him see it through my actions is good enough anymore. I said, you're probably right. And I said, well, what do you think? And he said, well, what do you think? And I said, I think it's time you start saying something. Because we can live it out and be a good person our whole life. But if we don't tell them the motives behind our actions, then we've been nothing but a good person. There's lost people that are good people. But their motive and their motivation behind it isn't the same as ours. We have a call to share the gospel. We have a call to be an evangelist. You know, we've all had stories and opportunities where we shared the gospel and we've just been flat out rejected. You know, they said no, we don't want to do it. And that is a reason that for some of us, we won't share the gospel. You know, we've maybe been denied too many times. Bob Graham's over here smiling because Bob Graham is a soul winner. And he will go and share the gospel. He does a lot of follow-up on people that come and accept Jesus Christ. And he goes and meets with them and calls them. And I'm sure there's been many times where he's been rejected and he's heard different responses. And I remember as a young boy, we used to have visitation. And my student pastor, he always encouraged us to come. And so he kind of get, and it's normal in most student ministry, you get kind of a few kids that are your leaders. They kind of separate themselves from the rest of the group. And then they're taking their spiritual walk more serious than others. And me and Elliot and DK and a couple others, we'd come to visitation. And all of us wanted to be with David because we knew we could be ourselves around David. We went with some other adult, we knew it was going to kind of be awkward. All right. And we went door to door, and I'll never forget this. Knocked on a door. We go to share the gospel, and we got chewed out. We got ripped up. And what are you doing coming to my house? Why are you talking about this stuff on the doorstep? And I told David, we got back in the car, and I told David, I said, you can take me back to the church, because I ain't about this. This ain't for me. And that's when David shared with me his story. And I said, and he sat there and he said, Justin, the first time I ever shared the gospel, I walked up to a kid. He said, I just got saved. I was energetic. I was pumped up. Walked into school and I said, told this guy, I said, if you were to die today, would you spend eternity in heaven or hell? And he said, that guy looked at me and said, you can go to hell. He said, I didn't know what to say. He said, I didn't know how to respond. He said, I was lost for words. There's going to be times where you are rejected. There's going to be times where it doesn't turn out the way you want it to. There's going to be times where, guess what? You don't know what to say. You don't have the answers. There's been times where I've backed away from a conversation and said, let me get back to you. Craig knows those times because that's when I went, hey, man, I got a question for you. It's okay. It's okay to do that as long as we are making Christ known in this lost world. As long as we are sharing the gospel. I'm thankful for David. You know why? Because he didn't let that stop him. And that video that we saw, he was one of those people that invested in my life. I'm not saying that I wouldn't be here because of him, because Jesus is the one that is the reason that I'm here. But he was. It's the events and the things that transpired in his life to allow him to be visible in my life. And when he was denied an opportunity by an individual to tell them about Jesus, he didn't just stop there. He continued to live his life just like this lady that was looking for that coin, seeking opportunities to make Christ known. Let's look at these last few verses. We're going to look at both parables here in Luke 15. We're going to look at 5 and 7, and then we're going to look at verses 9 and 10. We'll start with 5 and 7. It says this. It says, when he was found, when he has found it, he will joyfully carry it home. He's talking about the sheep. Carry it home on his shoulders. When he arrives, he will call together his friends and neighbors, saying, rejoice with me, because I have found my lost sheep. In the same way, there is more joy in heaven over one lost sinner who repents and returns to God than over 99 others who are righteous and haven't strayed away. Look at verses 9 and 10. It says, and when she finds it, she will call on her friends and neighbors and say, rejoice with me, because I found my lost coin. In the same way, there's joy in the presence of God's angels when even one sinner repents. You know, we make that statement all the time that well, we did this event and only one person got saved. It's all worth it. That's what Jesus is saying right now. He's saying, whatever you're doing in your life, if you will just reach out to one person, and that person will reach out to one person, and these people are getting saved, then guess what? It's worth it. Rejoice. Be excited about it. There's one thing that I do love about this church, is when people get saved, it's not of, man, I wish it was me. I wish it was me doing that. It's no, hey, amen. Thank God. That's another person that is saved from death. That's another person that's added to the kingdom of Christ. That's another person that can make Christ known in this world. Jesus is saying, rejoice. Be excited. Be excited at the fact that, you know what? That person's leading people to Jesus. That person's leading people to Jesus. That person's leading people to Jesus. And the kingdom of Christ is growing. And guess what? Just as that video showed, those people are going out and leading people to Jesus. If we want to continue to see the kingdom of Christ grow, if we want to continue to have the freedom to worship God, then we need to realize that we have the freedom to make disciples and to share the gospel, and we need to do it. We need to take it more serious. I want to share a picture with you this morning. That's our church. Reality is this. Hundreds of churches are closing their doors and locking them up forever, every day. And if we continue to go with the trend of evangelism the way that we're going, this is reality. Take a look at that. That's reality. Evangelism has, the gospel has the ability to change this. The gospel has the ability to change this reality. But guess who it takes?
Us.
And if we don't take it serious, if you don't take it serious, you have no one to blame. We have no one to blame but ourselves. Because God has placed this call on our lives. He said, I want you to share the gospel. He said, I want you to share the gospel. He said, I want you to share the gospel. He said, I want you to make me known in my work, in your workplace. I want you to make me known on your school campus. I want you to make me known when you're going golfing with your buddies. I want you to make me known when you go out into this world. Jesus is teaching through these parables. He says, get outside of the building and go seek the lost. Meet them where they are. Church, if we don't want this to happen, if we are tired of seeing churches broken down and locked up and closed forever, one less body of Christ that is making disciples and trying to make an impact in their community, then it's time that we truly pick up our cross, follow after him, and do what we're called to do. We've done selfish Christianity long enough. It's not my time. I don't want to take that opportunity. I don't know what to say during this moment. I don't know how to go about it right now. The Great Awakening happened with a few people. And I truly believe that if a few people step up, we can see it again. Because with God, all things are possible. If he's for us, who can stand against us? And I believe that those few people could sit in our congregation. I believe that those few people could sit inside this church. And the theme that we hear all the time is, why not us? Why not First Baptist Church of Wildwood? Why not Wildwood, Florida? The only thing that's keeping it from being us is us. Will you bow your head and close your eyes? This morning, as we sit here, and you've seen in God's word the call for evangelism, the call to make Christ known in this world, the call to go out and seek opportunities to share the gospel. I want to challenge you to three things this morning. One, if you're in this room and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you haven't given your life to him, I want to encourage you to do so today. In just a second, we're going to sing a song. I'm going to pray. And you can make your way forward. Myself and Brother Craig will be down front. We want to show you in God's word what it truly means to follow Christ. The second challenge for you this morning is, there may be somebody that is on your heart, that today they've been placed on your brain. You've been praying for them since you got up. You've been praying for them for a year, that they would come to know the Lord. Just a few moments, this altar will be open. And I challenge you during that time to move forward. Get on your face before God and lift that person up. That their heart may be broken, that God may put somebody else in their life, if not you. And then ask God, you know what? The third thing, ask God to give you strength, to give you wisdom, to make it visible the opportunities to make him known. To give you the strength to maybe remove yourself from that group at work or at school from time to time to share the gospel with the people around us. I'm going to pray. We're going to sing. And when I say amen, we'll stand and sing, and you move as the Lord guides you. Father God, thank you for this day. Thank you for everything that you've given us. Thank you for your love, your mercy, your grace, God. But this morning we pray that you will have a spiritual awakening on these people in here. God, that we will no longer be complacent with sitting in the pews and listening to good preaching, singing great songs, God, but we will be challenged to leave this place and make you known in our lives, through our words, and through our actions. God, we know the reality that faces us and what's ahead. And if we don't do what you've called us to do, if we don't go out and make disciples, if we don't go out and share the gospel, God, we know the reality. God, and I pray that you challenge these people this morning to go and do what you've called them to do. God, do what only you can in this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Will you stand and sing? Move as the Lord guides you.